Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
A memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open the Word this morning, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, so that the words that are spoken this morning, Father, are not ours, but they're yours. We want to keep everything, Father, according to your will and your way, and not ours, nor man's way. So be with us, Father. Guide us and keep us on the pathway of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, all right. We're going to go back here to Acts 22. We're going to find Paul here. This is about his conversion and all. And now, and what some were thinking about it, and then actually his feelings also. In verse 1, he says, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." You see, back in chapter 21, Paul had been taken prisoner and accused of a lot of things. In this chapter 22 here, he's given us his defense. Here in verse 2, he says, "And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silent. And he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel." He's letting them know where he was born and all. He's also now letting them know who his religious teacher was, which was Gamel, which back in that day and time was a very prominent man and one that was highly educated and teacher of the law. And this is why Paul was as dedicated as he was to the law and why he was doing a lot of things he was doing, which was against the Lord Jesus Christ. He still is here at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. He's letting them know everything. He's not hiding anything. Verse 4. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. Didn't matter to him who it was that was following Jesus and really believing in him and talking about him, whether it was man or woman. He's going to take them back anyway. Take them back, put them in prison, knowing a lot of them was going to get death because of it. And he goes on now, here in 5, and says, as also the high priest does bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. They then know just why he was going to Damascus and with what authority he had in order to be able to do what he was going there to do. That was his only reason for going to Damascus, was to undo things that others were doing in preaching the word of the Lord Jesus Christ and being followers of him. Now, verse 6, he says, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around about me. Now stop and think, as we look here at what happened here, how would you really feel if God came to you like he did Paul? And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The Lord Jesus is asking, why are you persecuting me and those that are following me? Paul goes on here in 8, and he says, I answered, who art thou, Lord? You see, he knew this had to be some high being. He didn't know who it was yet, but he knew that there was something mighty there, and he called it Lord. And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. There's a lot of them today that needs to meet the Lord this way, because we've got a lot of them out there that's persecuting him by the way they live and by the things they are teaching, because they're teaching a lot of things that are contrary to the word of Almighty God. You know, we sit around and we look at people and we think bad of a lot of people that actually are walking closer with the Lord Jesus Christ than most of our mankind today. We call them cults. But they're actually walking closer than most of the people today in our Christian churches. You say, oh, no, that can't be. Well, yes, but it can be. I've read you all several things from a book that I get. And you can tell by the way they write that they are closer than most of us. I read the other day about God is for us. I read that to you the other day. And our churches don't teach this today. They just don't teach it. So who are these people that is teaching this? Well, the name of this book is called Beside the Still Waters. And it's put out by the Amish. And they are actually living what they teach, which is a lot more than what most of us are doing today. But they do live it. Now, in verse 9, he goes on, he says, and they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. They could see the light, but they wasn't hearing the voice that was speaking to him. In verse 10, he says, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. He's not going to tell him all of it right now. He's sending him on into Damascus. Then it's going to take about 3 days for him to find out actually what it is that the Lord is really wanting of him. And sometimes with us today, it takes a lot longer than that for us to really know what God wants of us. And that's after we have been with him for quite a while. Because you see, we don't know a lot of things, and there's a lot of things that we need to be ready so that we can accomplish whatever it is that God is wanting of us to do. And he knows. He knows it's going to take a little while for us to know and to learn what we need in order to be able to do what he calls for us to do. He goes on here in 9:11, and he says, when I could not see for the glory of that light being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. He can't see now. That bright light that has been around him got him blinded. But you see, there's a reason that God does everything with us. I'm going to tell you a little story about me that I haven't told to share with you. I was a young man don't know, around 12, 13, somewhere in there. Went in, went to bed one night, went to sleep. And I had a dream. A dream that terrified me. Woke me up too. Because you see, in that dream, I was going through an obstacle course, running with Satan chasing me, throwing fireballs at me. Let me tell you something. I was several days getting over that. And I was just, like I said, I was just a young man, kid. I didn't know what it meant. Couldn't figure out anything about it for a long time. But you see, I later found out that what he was trying to do, he was trying to drag me so far down and get me into so much trouble that I couldn't do what God wanted me to do. He knew God was going to call me into the ministry. I didn't know it. And although, really, I probably should have been thinking about it, because my grandmother, when I was 6 years old, told my mother and dad, John said, I want you to look at that young man, because he is going to be a preacher. She didn't live long enough to get to see me preach, but she knew I was going to be. I was 6 years old, and she died while I was still 6 years old. She passed away at 4 o'clock one morning. But you know, God is good to those that love him. For several years, my grandmother had been sick. She had back problems and things. She couldn't even bend over to wash her feet. Grandpa had to wash her. He had to wash her feet for years. Well, the night that God come for her, she had been, they had a little, it was right here in Akron, Kentucky. They had the house and then the garage, and they had taken and made an apartment out of the garage. And my aunt and uncle lived there at the time. And grandma had went over to see my aunt. And when she come back into the house, grandpa looked at her and said she was white, kind of shaking up. He asked her, he said, what's the matter, Mom? She said, oh, I'm all right, nothing. She said, I've just seen a booger. And he kind of laughed with her about it. Went on in, be getting around, getting ready for bed. And she told him, she said, Dad, would you get me a glass of water? So he went into the kitchen to get her a glass of water, and when he came back, she was sitting up in the middle of the bed with her big toe in her mouth. This was a woman that couldn't even get to where she could wash her feet. Now she's sitting and got her toe in her mouth. And he looked at her, you know, and he said, now, Mom, what did you see? And she looked at him, she told him, she said, well, she said, Dad, I won't be with you in the morning. He said, what do you mean you're not going to be with me in the morning? She said, I'm going home. At 4 o'clock, Grandma passed away. You know, Sometimes God lets us know these things. But most of us don't want to know. I know I don't. I wonder sometimes about how long I'll have, but I really don't want to know. I don't know what I'd do if I did. You see, it's things like that that we really don't need to know either. What we need to know is how to live and to serve our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. You see, we do the Father's will, but we do it through Jesus. And we have the power and the knowledge and the wisdom for all of it by the Holy Spirit. You see, we work actually by all three. We know that the three of them are one, because the Word tells us so. We're told there are three in heaven that bear record: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. But it's God himself dealing with mankind at different times. You see, he dealt with mankind all those years before Christ as God the Father. Then he sent his Son, Jesus. And then, when Jesus completed his job here on earth, he goes back to heaven, and then God comes to us as the Holy Spirit. And that's why today we have all of the Godhead living in us. That's hard for mankind to really understand. When you say, well, you've got it living in it. If you really knew what power is laying within you, there'd be a lot of changes made in your life. You see, we don't know all of it. But we need to be learning and growing each and every day. That's why we need to be in God's Word daily. And we're told in the Scripture daily, but most don't. In fact, today, most very seldom ever pick it up. You know, there's a song out, I can't remember all of the song or anything, about the dust on the Bible. Because in most homes, that's what's on the Bible. Because they don't pick it up and use it. They're not learning anything from it. And most, when you go to them, don't want to learn. Now, as we get back in here, we know he's been led now by the hand to Damascus. Here in 12, it tells us, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. Now, this Ananias was a good man according to the law. But God's going to use him. 13. He said, he came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. God brought Ananias to heal his sight, where he'd been blinded from the time there on the road to Damascus. And here in 14, and he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee. Thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. He knew all about what happened there on the road to Damascus, Ananias. God had shown him and told him. You know, that's like God in my days of ministry. He showed me several things to do, and I'd go do them. And it would work out exactly as he would tell me. He sent me to another preacher, man that had a church. The church that I had preached in once. One time. That's all I got to preach there, because they sure didn't want me back. Because the night that I preached there at that church, I pulled up and parked right by the sign of the church. Never did look at it. Didn't see what kind of church it was. But the pastor there, at the time, I've always worked and made my own living. Never took nothing for preaching, money-wise. Because I never could figure out how I could charge for doing God's work when he gave me what I had. And then I'm going to charge him for it? No. I couldn't do it. I'm not against men that draw a salary. That's not what I'm saying. Just for me. But anyway, I managed a service station there for a gas company. And this pastor, this church, was one of my customers. The church is right out in the back of that service station. And I never did. And I passed that church every day, going and coming to work. And I never did look at the sign. And I never did. He and I would talk. But I never did ask him what the church was. We just talk about the word or about the Lord or something. I never asked about the church. But he come in one day and asked me, he said, are you doing it? You going anywhere to preach this week? And I told him, I said, no, not this week. I'm scheduled for next week. He said, would you come and preach for me Wednesday night? I told him, I said, yeah, I will. And I did. And like I said, I pulled up, parked out of the sign, never looked at it. Got in there, and he introduced me. And I got up, and I was preaching. I had a woman looking home to me. Couldn't figure out what or how I was getting on her so bad, but anyway, I could tell she was sitting there wishing I was somewhere else. And I finished up outside talking to one of his deacons. Deacon said, you kind of hard on our pastor today, wasn't you? I said, well, I don't know why I was. He said, you just preached against everything he preaches for. And about that time, this woman walked out and asked him, I said, who's that lady? He said, that's the pastor's wife. Well, now I knew why I was getting the looks I was getting. And like I said, I hadn't looked at it, and I told him, I said, well, I just gave him the word. And I went on out to the car. And like I said, I wasn't invited back. I'm getting in the car, and I looked at the sign. The church was an independent fundamental Baptist church. Well, I knew then why I was getting the looks I was getting. Anyway, went on a couple of weeks, and I went home. My wife told us, I'm kind of tired. I'm going to lay down a little bit. I laid down. Good Lord, come to me in a vision. Showing me this church. Oh, it was growing. Full, congregation full. They was building a foot addition on the side of it. That went away. The next, it showed windows and doors all boarded up. The door with a padlock on it. The Lord spoke to me and told me to go to the pastor's house and tell him that if he'd go to that church and pray about the prayer he'd been praying for, he'd be given the answer. I got up and went and done it. Well, he told me, he said, you know, he said, will you come go with me? I told him, I said, no, he didn't tell me to do that. I've done what he told me to do. He said, I'm going to follow you down, because he knew I had to pass the church. And he did. He got in his car, followed me down. A month later, they was building the addition onto that church. He was preaching as much truth as I had ever preached. Changed his whole ministry. And a year later, the Lord took him home. You see, God knows what each one of us needs and how we'll stand. A lot of us don't know that, because we have thoughts and things that go through our mind. Some of them we need to stop and get rid of. And then there is some that we should act on that we don't until the good Lord really gets a hold of us. But you know, God's still at work today. He'll still do the same work with us that he was doing with the apostles. He'll use you that way if you will actually get close enough and obedient enough for him to use you. That's where mankind's coming up short today. That's where our churches are coming up short. They're not finding the men that will stand and claim the word of God as it should be put out. Most of them wants to stand and tickle your ears, give you things to make you happy. Well, that's not our job. We are supposed to be there to give them God's word. And if they will be obedient unto the word of God, they'll have joy and happiness. Now, and he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. How much time are you spending in the Word of God and with him in prayer? Conversing with him. Talking with him. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. See, Paul hadn't been baptized in Jesus' name yet. Don't know whether he was even baptized under the law or not, but I always figured he was because he was strict by the law. But anyway, now he's being told to rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You see, there's no other way. There's no other way you and I are going to make heaven our home than through the Lord Jesus Christ. None at all. We can't go around him, over him, or under him, as I tell you. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. He's letting Paul know, you go somewhere else. Because here in Jerusalem, they ain't going to hear you. They know what you've been doing and how you've been against me and all this. Because you see, and then he had chose Paul for something different anyway. Because now, he's going to use Paul to bring the gospel to the Gentile people, which is the way you and I obtain the word. Really. That's what started Christianity among the Gentile people. You see, they weren't allowed to have anything to do with the Jewish people at all at that time. The Jewish man couldn't even go in one of his house, according to the law. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Well, we knew about that before. We were told about that back in the four Gospels. And other places here in the Scripture, here in the New Testament, we're being told about him because he was the first deacon of the church. Well, one of the first. There were seven of them that started. But he was the first deacon to be martyred in his church. And you know, they lived, those men, the apostles and those that were elders in the church, they lived the life that they taught. Stephen, although they were stoning him to death, he asked God to forgive them and not hold it against them. Could you do that today? Somebody actually killing you in such a way that it's going to take, could take hours. But with all that pain, the rocks are hitting you, it had to be painful. And yet, you were close enough that you could say, Lord, forgive them. Don't lay this to their charge, because they don't know really what they're doing. Stephen did. Then he looked up and saw heaven open and saw Jesus on the right hand of God, too. You see, most of us, we just ain't living as close as what we should be living. Now he goes on here in 19, says, and I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. Then he went on talking about Stephen when he shed his blood, you know, he was killed. Then he goes down here in 21, he says, and he said unto me, depart. For I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Take him away from the Jews now and send him to the Gentiles. They gave him audience unto his word and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Now this group wants to kill Paul because he is one of those, and like those, that he was in prison himself. And now they answer him. 23. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bid that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. Now, chief captains wanted to give him a beating. And back then, when you got a beating, they used a cat of nine tails. When you got one licked, you actually got nine, because it had nine strips to that whip. Now, 25, and as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge or beat a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? He's letting them know now, because he knows that it's not, because besides him being a Jew, he is also a Roman citizen. He was born in Rome. 26. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said to him, tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, Paul tells him, he says, yes, I am. Now, and the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. Paul letting him know he didn't have to buy he was reborn. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. Now they're afraid of their own laws, their own ways, because they had done something they should not have done to him. They didn't know he was a Roman when they bound him, but they did. Now they're afraid. On this next one, we'll close. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty, wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. And then we'll be getting in, God willing, we'll be getting into chapter 23 this evening at 5 p.m. and finding out a little more about what's going on here with Paul and how God stands with him and sees him through a lot of things and a lot of hardships. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that we can come together to share your word, Father, and be able to share it with the world. Help us, Father, to grow in strength of faith, in knowledge, in wisdom, and help us to reach out to those of the world, Father, that are in need of this, your word, and the things that only you and your power can handle. We know, Father, there's nothing that's too big for you to care about or to handle. Not like us men, the weak, but that you can do all things. You created this world, Father. We know that you take care of it. You're still in control to this day. Now, Father, help us this afternoon. Bring us back together, Father, at 5 o'clock. And keep us on the pathway of righteousness. I pray for our families, Father. We all have family members that are not right with God. I pray that the Holy Spirit can work among our families. Father, help them to turn from their evil ways and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness, so that they too can make heaven their home. Father, you took Terry home. He was my deacon, Father. We miss him. But Father, we pray he is in peace with you. We know that he was a lot wrong with him in the last few months, Father. And Father, help us now to grow stronger each and every day. Be with us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Oh. Is something on your mind?
No.
Oh, I do that too.
Like,
you can't do it teaching. You know. Only once in a while you'll reference something to tie it in. But I don't like to get scared. Won't let me get too far away from it. Once in a while he'll let me get off a little ways. Not very much. Now, I used to be. My first, my first 5 years in the ministry, you wouldn't have known me. Not to know me now. I've jumped a few rails. I've run all around the stage. And like I say, we had one of, like the church where we just left, had that short rail up. Had a young boy who, I guess, 8 or 9, somewhere around, sitting there with his mom and dad in the front row. I come around there and I jumped that rail. He wasn't totally feedback. He thought I was going to jump in his lap. Then the Lord slowed me down and moved me